Take your Bibles, turn to Psalms 6. Psalm 6, we'll read the first six verses together. Psalm 6, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 6, verses 1 through 6. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul also is sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've done for us in this place. What a sweet, wonderful place that you've given us here. Not because of the buildings, not because of the property, but because your presence is here. And Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Yesterday's blessings were wonderful, but they won't do for tonight. We've got to have you tonight in a new and a fresh way. Father, please fill our preacher with your power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I will not give adequate time to the subject of this evening. I'm going to talk to you about the subject of church discipline. I arrived here a little over 4 years ago. I had been sitting in the pastor's office no longer than a month. My phone rang. It was a pastor from the area. And he said this to me. He said, Pastor Owens, I realize you've not been in our area for long, but I want you to know I've kicked someone out of my church. We brought them before the church, told everyone what they had done. I've kicked them out of the church, and I think they've come and they're sitting in your pews, and it is my recommendation, and we would expect you to do the same that we have done. Well, I said, I appreciate you giving me a call. Thank you very much. And I hung up. And I turned to a story in the Bible where some men had caught a lady in adultery and had drug her by the hair and said to Jesus, Jesus, here's a woman that's been caught in the very act of adultery and we're going to stone her. What do you think we ought to do? And Jesus stooped down and wrote in the ground. And then he stood up and said, he that is without sin may cast the first stone. And everybody set the rocks down. And he said to the lady, ma'am, you've sinned, you've done wrong, you're forgiven. Now you go live right. The subject of church discipline can be very confusing. I will make it quite simple this evening. Here in Psalm chapter 6, the Bible says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy on me. Now, folks, let's face it, any organization that exists, that plans to continue to exist, must have rules and guidelines. The Bible is a book full of rules and guidelines, if you will. And when rules are broken, there is discipline that comes. You take Lucifer. He was in heaven. He at one time was an archangel in heaven. He broke the rules and God kicked him out of heaven. Man is a sinner. And we break God's rules. And there are times when man needs to be corrected by God. There's one good thing. Once you get saved, you're always saved. God never kicks you out of the family then. Now, you might be a disobedient child, but he doesn't kick you out of the family. Churches must have church discipline. We've got to have discipline in the church. Or sin and the devil will run wild and the church will corrupt. Oh, I have practiced church discipline virtually on a weekly basis since I've been here. You say, well, I didn't see it. Why did you have to see it? The whole purpose was to correct the problem, not to flaunt someone's sins before you. We all need discipline at times. Now, what does the Bible tell us about receiving discipline? This will be good for us. Now, what does God say when it's time for us to receive some discipline? Proverbs 3:11 says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction." Here the Bible says, when it's time for you to be corrected or for me to be corrected, we're not to despise correction. It also says we should not be weary about being corrected. Then, the Bible says in Proverbs 7:22, "He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stalks." Here, you can actually receive correction as a fool. Now listen, when correction comes your way, or if correction comes my way, I need to be careful that I do not behave like a fool when it comes my way. Proverbs chapter 15:10 says, "Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die." Now God is saying, when correction comes your way, if you are out of His way, that correction will be grievous to you. What does that mean? When you're not right with God, and you are corrected, you are going to be very grieved at that correction. But that means the other side of the coin is when you're wanting to be right with God and you have to be corrected or put back in line, you'll thank God for it. You'll say, "Boy, thank you. I needed someone to correct me." The Bible says in Proverbs 22:15, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Here the Bible says correction will remove your foolishness. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 3 says, "O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return." Here, God is telling us, don't become hard. Don't refuse correction. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 28 says, "But thou shalt say unto them, This is a nation that obeyed not the voice of the Lord, the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth." See, here it says that correction rejectors are actually rejecting the truth of the Word of God. Now, when someone needs corrected, and we're talking about church discipline tonight, when we discipline, we are to discipline for the good of God, for the cause of Christ. We are going to discipline or correct for the sake of the church, for the good of the church. Do you know that when we correct or discipline, we are to do it for the good of the individual that's done wrong? Listen, when I stand up here and throw a fit about your sin, I don't have anything personal against you. I'm supposed to warn you and help you and correct you so that you don't hurt yourself. Listen, we are to discipline to help the young Christians. Why? You just let sin run wild in the church. The young Christians will get this idea. It's okay to do anything you want. And they're not supposed to get that idea. They watch the older Christians set bad examples. And that hurts the younger Christians. And so when we discipline for God's good. We discipline for the church's good. We discipline for the individual's good. We discipline for the other Christians. Christian's good, and when we discipline, we're to discipline in love. Well, I see some people that call themselves fundamentalists that discipline in hatred. Now, I see some that don't do any disciplining, and they call that love, and that's not love. The Bible says if you spare the rod, you hate your child. No, you hate if you don't correct, but when you correct, you are supposed to do it in love. I think when you correct or discipline, it's not to be done hastily, but it is to be done with much patience. Here's our problem. We get angry with people, so we discipline them. We do it hastily. Well, listen to me now. That anger and hatred, now that haste, you're probably going to have a problem on your hands the way you handle it. Hey, we are to discipline fairly and justly, not just on hearsay. Someone said, "Well, I think somebody did thus and so." Well, I think's not good enough to spank something. Right. Well, I feel. We're not supposed to go on your feelings.
Right.
Well, in my opinion, your opinion really doesn't count. Right and wrong counts. Knowing for a fact someone did wrong. Hey, and get this. It's probably wisest that most every time we discipline, it be done in private. It be done in private. Where do people get this thing of putting on a big show and trying to destroy someone? Did you know that when you're being disciplined by God, nobody knows? In a little while, I'll say something about this. There are some that would say, if you're sick, that's God disciplining you. Now, that's someone that said that. They're full of beans. They do not know that your sickness is a result of God disciplining you. Why? Have you ever noticed that God disciplines so much in private that nobody ever knows why somebody else is having a hard time?
Right.
Most discipline needs to be cared for in private. Parents, let me tell you something about raising your teenagers. You go calling your kids down in front of their peers and their friends, you're going to have a very difficult time with that. You'd be smarter calling them aside and saying, Joe, don't do that or I'll kill you when we get home. Now, son, go back out there with your friends. But you do it, they're apt to get stiff-necked on you when you do it in front of everybody. I'm saying to you, if we're going to discipline, and we should, and we will, and in the church we will, it should be done in love. In patience. It should be done justly and fairly, and most of the time in private. The Bible says that those that cause disunity in a church are to be corrected. Romans 16:17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions. Well, the Bible actually says, have you ever noticed the thing I probably throw the fit about the most in this church are the gossips and the critics and the people that cause disunity? Why? I want it very clear that when somebody is disloyal to the cause of this church, they're gossips and they're critics and they're backstabbers. I may not have to point them out to you. My preaching will mark them. If you have any good sense, you'll know who they are. What is that? It's a form of discipline. A form of discipline. And there's even been some who have had this tendency to continually cause disunity, and I go see them. Why? It's my job to protect the spirit of this church. Now, that by way of introduction, and listen to me carefully. Let me tell you, this morning I said this. I said, in regard to discipline in the church, I could show you a technique of church discipline where you don't have to lose a bunch of people from the church because of it. Listen to this. Self-discipline is the best discipline in the church. So point number one, self-discipline is the best discipline in the church. Daniel 10:12 says, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Here the Bible says that a man named Daniel learned to chasten himself. I'm going to ask the membership of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church that you make it so that I never have to personally correct you. I don't want to do that. So what am I going to do? Correct yourself. Make my job easy. Because I tell you what happens when I have to say, when I got to pull you aside and say, you ought not do that, and that's the wrong way of handling that, then there's going to be personal tension between you and I don't want to do that, so here's what you do. You spank you, and nobody else will ever have to spank you. I worked for Brother Hiles, and I was there for about 18 years. And there's something I learned from him. I learned that if you would correct yourself, you would need not be corrected by another. Hey. If I ever did something dumb while I was working for him, my goal was to be the first one to get to him to tell him. There were others that had the same goal of trying to get to him to tell him. But I walked right in. I said, preacher, I did something. I don't think it was real smart. I'm sorry, and I was wrong. You know, most of the time he said, okay, I take it, it's cared for. What more need there be? I taught my children, and they'll tell you this, I taught my kids, don't do wrong. But if you do wrong, you need to come and you need to tell me that you did wrong. Because if I have to find out that you did wrong without you telling me, the punishment will be greater. But if you'll come and turn yourself in, I will lessen the punishment. You know what? You do wrong against God. You go to God. You get on your knees and say, Father, I have sinned. You'll cut the reaping process down a whole lot.
Yes, sir.
I This is an excellent sign of maturity, by the way. Self-disciplining shows maturity. Children need to learn to discipline themselves. You teenagers say, but once I am so sick and tired of my mom correcting me. Why don't you grow up then?
Right. Come on.
Grow up! Why should mom have to correct you? Because if you did not need her to correct you, you would be correcting yourself. You don't need me to correct you. You could correct yourself. Psalm 69:10 says, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was for my reproach. You know what? The psalmist said, I chastened me. It was said of Daniel, I chastened me. You want to know the best form of church discipline? If everybody in this church will just strongly correct yourself when you need to be corrected. We'll never have people mad at each other and upset about what we call injustices and misunderstandings if everybody just correct themselves. Number two, we have the Holy Spirit to help with discipline in the church. Romans chapter 8, verse 13, it says, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. It says here that through the Spirit we can mortify the deeds of the flesh. What does the word mortify mean there? It means kill.
Right.
Mortuary, mortify. You see the association there? God is saying, through the Spirit, you can kill the deeds of the flesh. It means the Holy Spirit within you will help you to correct your flesh. The Holy Spirit will tell you to discipline yourself. So I say self-correction or self-discipline in the church will keep us from having offenses and everybody being mad at me because I had to step up as a leader, and I will, and I'm not afraid to. But I don't want to do that. So if you will self-discipline, you say, how will I do that? The Holy Spirit will come to you and say to you, you're wrong. If your ego and your pride would be removed, then He can work. God sealed the Holy Spirit inside you so you could correct you. I would rather not correct you from the outside in. You'd be better off corrected from the inside out. Let Him discipline you. Church problems are caused by people who reject the Holy Spirit's correction. I guarantee it. You have problems in the church when people are not prompted by the Holy Spirit to self-discipline, and then they cause disunity and problems within the church. So, I said number one, self-discipline is the best discipline in a church. Number two, the Holy Spirit disciplining us in the church is a wonderful way to discipline. Number three, we have the Word of God to discipline us and our church. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. Here, the Bible is supposed to correct you. The people in the church who must be corrected by a person. If a person has to correct you, you're not self-disciplining. You're not submitting to the Holy Spirit so He can do the correcting. You're not obeying the correction of the Bible. So some human being steps up and says, all right, I'm being forced to do what you're supposed to do on your own. True leadership does not want to discipline. My son Jeff sits down here. He's my oldest boy. I love him. I'm very proud of him. I never enjoyed spanking my son. Now, there were times when I did. I don't now. He's too big. But, Jeff, you know, Dad never enjoyed spanking you. Never. Not one time. Leadership should not enjoy discipline. Leadership should be saying, oh, I don't like this. Shouldn't be a thrill. It should be a, I wish you would have taken care of that yourself. But we tried to fix that through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit tried to talk to you, and you ought to be fixing it yourself, and now you're forcing me into this uncomfortable situation of having to talk to you about it, and I don't want to do that. But the people in a church who need a human to correct them are missing the best ways of discipline, and that is self-discipline and Holy Spirit discipline and Word of God discipline. If you'll read your Bible and obey it, if you will read your Bible like you ought to and obey it, nobody will have to correct you.
That's right.
but we read it, and then we don't obey it. I'll promise you, the woman in this church that's given me the hardest time since I've been here, I'll promise you, she does not read her Bible like she's supposed to. She is not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and she doesn't take correction very well. She mocks at it and fights at it. The man in this church that would give this church the worst reputation, promise you, he doesn't read his Bible like he's supposed to and obey it. He doesn't obey the Holy Spirit like he's supposed to and obey the Holy Spirit. I promise you. So we get to the point where a human leader has to step up and say, yeah, not do that. Then there's that possibility of tension and misunderstanding. Let the Word of God spank you. It's the best way to do it. Number four, the church member's own wickedness will discipline them. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 19 says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Huh. Your own sin will slap the snot out of you. Do you know, I watch people, these people that I call easy chair Christians, you know, they think they know it all, and somebody misbehaves in the church, and so they think we ought to take them all out behind the barn and beat them with a baseball bat, and they call that church discipline. Do you want to know something? There are times when, because of someone's sin, their sin will just tear them to shreds. Your wrong will punish you.
Right.
Well, I watch the faces of people that do wrong. They're not happy in church. They're miserable. They're not happy with their relationships. They're miserable. God knows sin in itself is a punishment. Go ahead. Do the stupid things I warn you not to. You'll ruin you. You'll break your own heart. You'll destroy your own marriage. You'll turn your own kids on you. You know, you take, for instance, abortion is a perfect example of what I'm trying to say right now. I preach against abortion because abortion is murder.
That's right.
It is murder. Oh, but wait. I always say this. I'll preach against abortion. I'll throw a fit about it. And you'll hear me always say this. But wait. If you have made that mistake, if the devil slipped one by you and you made the mistake of having an abortion, God still loves you. God will forgive you. That baby is in heaven. And God wants to go on and use you. Why? Can I tell you something? Someone that has aborted a child lives with some pretty heavy pain. They're being disciplined. Number five, God disciplines in the church. I've said this so far. Self-discipline is the best kind of discipline. I said the Holy Spirit can discipline in the church. The Word of God disciplines in the church. A church member's own wickedness will discipline them. And then God moves in and He disciplines in the church. Proverbs 3:12 says, for whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. Even as a father, the son in whom He delighteth. God corrects people in His own way. Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth. You know what a scourging was with a whip? Scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Chasteneth and scourgeth. God has a special way of spanking His kids. And God, that, and I believe that scourging is between God and that child. I'll tell you some of the ways that God may choose to spank someone. Let me remind you something. If God's spanking me, you don't know. If God's spanking you, I don't know. I talked to a man in the last couple of years. He'll say to me, God's punishing them. I always say, didn't God tell you that? How do you know that? Well, I just know he'd been watching them kooks on TV too much.
Yeah, right.
You know, no, if someone's having a hard time, that's God disciplining them. But let me tell you this. You may know if God's spanking you. You may know that you've been up to no good and God is scourging you. Maybe through illness. Maybe through the loss of money. Maybe through the loss of peace into your life or loss of blessing. But I can't judge your spanking. You can't judge mine. You and God know what that spanking is for. And I'm just telling you, but God does discipline in the church, I promise you. God is constantly disciplining in the church. Number six, parents are to discipline their children in the church. Proverbs 19:18 says, chasten thy son while there is hope. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. Now, why is he crying? Because he's being chastened by his parents. Listen, mom and dad, if you will correct your child who is disrespectful during the preaching, I'll never have to do it again from this pulpit. Well, I'm angry with you, Pastor. If you're angry at me, what you're really angry at is I'm doing your job. I don't like the fact you called my daughter down. Me. I never want to call your daughter down again. Let's make a deal. I'll never do it again. So she'll never do it again. You never have to come at me again. We can all be happy that way. Parents, correct your children. I never want to say to a child, hey, stop running in the church there. Now I will. And so will other adults in the church. But they shouldn't have to. And when we do, it's not because we're angry or we hate them or we're just trying to beat up your family. We hate your family. We're going to pick on you kids. Come on, grow up. But if you do it, somebody else wouldn't have to do it. Don't get mad at others for doing your job. Number seven. Wives are to submit to their own husbands in the church. You all have a King James Bible? Good. 1 Peter 3:1 says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. If any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Here the Bible says, a woman should be in subjection to her husband. 1 Peter 3:5 says, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Men, now listen to this. Men, you should lead your wives to discipline themselves. Again, ladies, here's what God really wants. God wants you to discipline yourself. God doesn't want your husband to have to step up and say, we need to stop this. God doesn't want your husband to have to do that. So, if you will discipline yourself, he won't have to say, honey, let's not do that. If you would read your Bible, then the Bible would discipline you and you could self-discipline. If you would be filled with the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit would discipline you. But, if a lady won't self-discipline, a husband ought to love his wife enough to gently say, honey, I think we should be careful here. I think we should be careful. You ladies that do not have godly husbands in the church, you better work real hard at disciplining yourself. And I'm not trying to belittle a lady, but a man is head of his household. I'll tell you this. I often will say to a man, I'll say, could you help explain something to your wife for me? And I hope he gently goes and says, honey, we ought to work on this a little bit. Let's move on here. And some of you men are saying, forget it, preacher. You go ahead and talk to her yourself. There are in-tech men in here. You know you need me because you can't handle her. Number eight. Our church school has a discipline system. Our school is a ministry of our church. Our school discipline system is a part of our church discipline system. People say, Brother Lawrence, tell me about your discipline program. Boy, I'm telling you. We are a church of church discipline. And we're not a bunch of backstabbing, throat-cutting, angry, impatient, rude, vengeance-seeking people. But we're disciplined constantly here. Constantly. We have a handbook in our Christian school. Parents, read the handbook. They're to help their children follow the handbook. We're more concerned that the parent read it and signed it than we are the child. And I'll tell you this real quickly, Brother Bush, have we sent a memo out about our discipline matter? When I arrived here, we had a policy in the school that parents would come in and spank their children when their children's disobedience earned them a spanking. We didn't do it. Brother Bush and I and the deacon board, we thought, well, let's see if we go back to the old-fashioned method of a principal doing the spanking, if it would help. You say, why'd we do that? Because some parents would come in, and it was time for their child to get a spanking for their wrong. The parent would do this. We thought, how can we control that child if that child is not taught discipline? But we had such a wonderful year. We had so few. We decided, we got to talking about it, and we decided that the school will no longer spank the kids. It's going to go back to the parents. We thought about it. We studied it scripturally. And so we have the parents spank the children in our school. But we tell all the parents the rules. They read them. They sign it. Now, we together follow the agreement. What is that? It's another form of discipline in the church. And parents, that handbook, yeah, don't believe this. We mean it. You finally met a man that believes that if you sign a handbook and you say, we're going to do this, you ought to do it. So while you signed a handbook saying your kids would not listen to rock and roll music while they're in our school and you're letting them listen to rock and roll music at home, somebody lied to us. You go give my child demerits? You ought to correct your child. Christian schools all over the place have handbooks that they don't follow.
Right.
Just let everybody run wild, do whatever they want. No, we mean it. So I don't like this. What you don't like is facing the truth. People don't like facing the truth. You tell me what's wrong with that. You have a handbook. You agree to abide by a handbook. You sign it. Then you turn around and you don't abide by the handbook. Who's wrong? Me and the school or you?
Good.
Oh, now we'll work with you. And that's why we have a graduated demerit system and correction system. Number next. Each leader in our church handles the discipline in their area of authority. 1 Peter 2:18 says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. That means this. Okay, for everyone that's wondering, I would guess that's rain. I'm looking out and everyone's going, that's rain. There's water that's coming down from the sky that is filling your car because your windows are down. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. Each leader in our church disciplines in his area of authority. For instance, Brother Bajan helps with the discipline in the bus ministry. Why? That's his area. Brother Bush in the school. Brother Owens in the youth ministry. Brother Goss in junior church. Brother Davis in primary church. Brother Nash in the music ministry. Mrs. Nash in the Nash home. Whoever leads in a given area disciplines in that area. Now, let me tell you where we'll have a problem. Brother Bush, if you go trying to discipline problems in Brother Bajan's area, we're going to have some sort of a problem. Brother Young, you care for the men's ministry. And Brother Young, if you step out of your area and you start trying to discipline in Brother Nash's area, we're going to have a problem. Now, folks, if a church is going to have peace, and if a church is going to have unity, then everybody administrates in a given area. Now, people with good attitudes can go to Brother Bush and say, Brother Bush, I've seen a little something. I thought I'd let you know about it. Hey, he didn't mind that. I don't mind that. But as people that come in with hatred in their hearts and vengeance, and they want to step out and do something that's really not their place, suddenly you have chaos. Now, if America becomes a country full of vigilantes that are going around stringing people up and blowing people away that do wrong, that's wrong. We're supposed to have a justice system. And we're supposed to obey it. Number next. As pastor, I discipline my employees and the leaders of the church. Colossians 3:22 and 24 says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive reward. Now, the Bible talks about according to the flesh. If somebody works somewhere, if somebody has a position somewhere, those who are their leaders take the responsible role of doing some correcting. Now, folks, you don't correct my staff, I'll correct my staff. No, I've never gone down to McDonald's and chewed out a lazy worker. No. And if ever I did, which I haven't, I'd probably go to the boss and say, I think you'd want to know that guy's asleep over there, supposed to be working for you. You say, brother, who corrects the pastor? Oh, he's in a lot of trouble. Who's supposed to correct the pastor? Well, pastor, if he has any good sense, will correct himself. Pastor, if he has any good sense, will let the Holy Spirit correct him. Pastor, if he has any good sense, will let the Word of God direct and correct him. Pastor, though, can I tell you who he works for? God.
Right.
Now, here's a unique thing. I can't see everything you do, but he sure can see everything that I do. Psalm 105:15 says, saying, touch not mine anointed, nor do my prophets any harm. Do you know that God disciplines pastors?
Yes, sir.
I would much rather be disciplined by a man. Do you know if I do wrong, if I'm in trouble with the God of the universe, do you know what he expects of me?
Good.
My position is not as glamorous as what you might think. I have to love the people that hate me. And not only does God expect it, so do you. Brother, what people expect of the man of God. Preach too long, too short, too hard, too soft. My, you just wouldn't believe. I won't read the scripture. It's my intent to get us out a few minutes early. But God disciplines God's man. I've known churches where church members will call and say, oh, our pastor this or our pastor that. And I tell them, I say, you need to be very, very careful. You need to be very careful. And by the way, I'm not saying this for my sake. My church, I have a wonderful church. I have a wonderful group of people. I think we all work together very, very well. But I do not work for the deacon board here. I'm not under their thumb. They don't control me. The congregation does not control me. The financial advisor does not control me. You won't control me. I know who I work for. I know who my boss is. And I also know who disciplines me. And I fear the one who disciplines me. Very, very much so. Now, the best way for there to be discipline in a church is that you self-discipline, that the Holy Spirit disciplines you, and the Word of God disciplines you. And if we would do that, there'd be very little times when the bus director has to come to someone in the bus ministry and say, look, I'm going to have to scold you here. He doesn't want to do that. You kids in the school, your teachers don't want to correct you. Ask any teacher. They don't come to school thinking, oh, give me that embarrassed slip. I'm just watching. Come on, you little rat, do something bad. Not at all. You young people, mom and dad, do not want the tension that correction creates. You know, we could all do ourselves a great big old favor. How about you correct you, and I'll correct me? And how about you let the Holy Spirit correct you, and the Word of God correct you, and the preaching of the Word of God correct you? Look, if you give your word that you're going to do something in the church, if you said, I'll abide by these standards, I'll do what I'm saying. Don't get mad at somebody if someone says, you're not doing what you said you were going to do. Now, whose fault is it? And if correction comes, let me tell you something about it. It ought to be patient. It ought to be kind. It ought to be just. Most of the time, it ought to be in private. Now, the Bible does say, smite the scorner and the simple will beware. What's it talking about? There's sometimes when someone is just rebelling in front of everyone and making a scene, they might need to be corrected so the simple ones or the younger ones know you're not to behave that way. You just don't let people cut your throat continuously and get away with it. Oh, but most discipline in private. There are people in this building that I've called aside and very tenderly and kindly said, we don't do that. I have no vengeance in regard to it. There's got to be discipline in a church. We have it. Let's keep it. But let's practice the best form of church discipline. Let's discipline ourselves. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.